The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with SuperValue Travel Insurance. Don't worry about a thing with great value travel insurance online at supervalue.ie.
If you're planning a trip to the jeweller soon to purchase a high-quality, high-value Swiss watch, you might be in for a bit of a shock. Earlier this month, the Swiss franc jumped in value against the euro, making imports from that country as much as 30% more expensive. Well, Irish visitors to the small, landlocked European country will notice the euro in their pocket will not stretch so far anymore. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But first, Colm Flynn visited a jeweller, Pat Keane, in Cork City to check out their haul of Swiss watches.
Well, it's been disastrous for the jewellery trade in particular. We will have, it certainly will have a knock-on effect both for all of the brands, in fact. We were looking at our figures yesterday, and certainly from the likes of Rolex, Patek Philippe, any of the Swiss brands, it's going to have a huge effect, probably as much as 20% of an increase.
How often do you buy stock from Switzerland?
Well, we're going to Switzerland, in fact, next month to Basel for the fair, for the Swiss fair, the big fair of the year, and certainly that's where all the buying will be done. I'm led to believe that everything in Switzerland at this stage, which of course would include skiing holidays, food, drink, accommodation, is all gone up by 20%.
And the last time you bought stock from Switzerland, was it at the capped rate?
Oh, it was. Yeah, it was, yeah. It's only in the past week, really, that this has happened.
And for you running a business, it was a great security, wasn't it? The Swiss National Bank having that cap on the currency, so you knew exactly what you were going to get for your euro. So what will that mean for you going in buying watches now from Switzerland?
We will probably hold back on our buying for the next couple of weeks just to see how the thing pans out. But certainly it's something that will probably increase the stock by as much as 20%.
20% is a big markup on a watch that costs a couple of thousand euro.
It is, yeah. I mean, the gold itself this morning increased substantially.
Yeah, and when we think of watches, obviously we think of Switzerland. Where are the alternatives? Let's say it became far too expensive and prohibitive for you to buy from there. Where do you go then?
Well, I mean, you have the Japanese would produce a very good quality Seiko watch, albeit at a certainly a much lower price scale. You have the Citizen. You have certain amount of brands there. But I suppose really the whole industry is really based around Switzerland. You know, that's where the quality stuff is being made.
I wonder even would it be a case that some of those brands might move into neighbouring countries or something where they won't have that problem?
Possibly. I mean, Germany is only just over the border, as is France. So, you know, there may be a way around that. I'm not sure. You know, when we go to Basel, we stay in Germany, just over the border. And you'd be amazed the difference. If I'm taking a taxi from Germany into Switzerland for the fair in the morning, it could have as much as three times as expensive when I'm taking a taxi from the fair back to Germany that evening. And even eating out, I could go back to the hotel in Germany. It would be so less expensive, of course, you're paying in euro by comparison to Swiss francs.
What are we looking at here in this glass case in front of us?
Well, here you have the Rolex President, rose gold with the diamond face at the back there. That's retailing at 30,000.
When was the last time you sold a watch for 30,000 euro, Pat?
Well, we'd sell a few of them at Christmas. Yeah, I mean, there's still a few bob around the country. There is. This one here, for example, 70,000. That's a chronograph, gold, 18 carat, yellow gold chronograph. That watch, you'd probably find there won't be any more than maybe 50 pieces made. People keep them, collectors. Mm-hmm. We export to Germany, we export to China.
And if somebody rings from Germany and they buy this watch at 60,000 or the one for 200,000, mm-hmm. is it hand-delivered or how does it get to Germany?
We hand-deliver. We just sent one to China the other day now, a very expensive piece. And, you know, it has to be really hand-delivered. You know, the Swiss industry really, it does survive and it does exceptionally well.
So you think even if the prices go up of these watches here in the store, you'll still be okay? There'll be collectors out there who will still want those watches.
Well, people like to aspire to a new to a nice watch. You know, they'd like to aspire to a Rolex or a Gucci. And if the product is there, people will pay the money.
Well, Pat, before I go, see that watch there for 70,000?
Yep.
Wrap it up. I'm going to take it.
Good man. it's in the bag. Oh, we'll do a good keen price on that.
Yes, that's Colm Flynn talking to Cork jeweller Pat Keane. Claire O'Dea is an Irish journalist living and working in Switzerland, and she's on the line now. Claire, good morning.
Good morning, John.
What's happened there? Just explain the background to it.
Well, I suppose this bombshell dropped about 10 days ago on the 15th of January. And what had been happening for the last 3 years is that the franc was being held back or held, kind of weighted down artificially by a deliberate and very public policy from the Swiss National Bank, which is the Central Bank of Switzerland, because a few years ago, the franc was getting too strong too quickly and the Swiss were getting worried that it was affecting their competitiveness. So the bank stepped in and said, right, we're going to hold the Swiss franc back and we won't let it. They set this limit that 1 euro would be 1.20 francs and that they wouldn't allow it to go below that. They just abandoned that policy overnight. They announced it that day, and it took everybody by surprise. And this whole artificial security kind of comfort blanket that everybody had on both sides, the euro and the Swiss franc, just vanished like that. And the Swiss franc jumped by 30% that day, but then it settled down to now it's appreciated 20% in value. And that looks like it's settling around 1-to-1, around 1 euro. To 1 franc, and that has loads of repercussions.
Yes, tell us about some of those repercussions, Claire.
For inside the country, for Swiss people, it seems like good news in a way, in that short term anyway. It's like suddenly everybody has a bonus, because here we are, right in the middle, in the heart of Europe. We can so easily, you know, within an hour, you can be in Germany, you can be in France, you can, 2 hours for me anyway, you could be down, I can be down in Italy for a pizza. And everything around us has become that much cheaper, you know, and there's a huge tradition here anyway of cross-border shopping. So people like to go over at the weekend and buy their meat and buy their alcohol and their children's clothes or whatever. So that's going to be... there's even a much higher incentive for more people to flock across the border. So that does seem like a good thing. But then Swiss retailers, meanwhile, are kind of scrabbling to get people to stay. And they're trying to say, no, we'll pass on the discount to you. And lots of prices are being cut. So yeah, it'll be up to Swiss consumers to work out whether they will continue to shop mainly at home, or whether they're going to bow to this temptation to go abroad. And of course, if anybody wants to buy, and Swiss people do like to buy holiday homes in Tuscany, south of France, well, you know, that stone cottage for 120,000 euro is now the equivalent of 100,000 to Swiss buyers.
Sure. So there's a great incentive for them to dig into their pockets and spend money outside of Switzerland. Yeah. And tourists from the European Union will notice a difference, Claire. So give us an idea of how more expensive things have gotten for tourists.
Well, yeah, tourists, we're just starting the winter high season now. And like, this is considered to be a disaster by the tourist industry. Switzerland, it was already up there. It was, if you want, like the Alpine experience, your skiing week, you know, it was already cheaper to go to France or Austria or Italy. And now it's going to have to take a lot for somebody who has the choice to go to Switzerland, where, for example, in some of the resorts, the ski passes are really expensive. If you've never gone skiing, you know, you're talking about, say, a 6-day ski pass would be something like 350 francs. And that used to be around just under 300 euro. And now it is 350, 360. So that applies across the board, where every place you were going to spend the equivalent of 20 euro on a meal, that's now 24. Or if you were going to spend 3 euro on a coffee, that's now 360. You know, that for hotel rooms, for museums, for transport, it's definitely more expensive.
And one of our colleagues, Claire, was saying that she was in Geneva yesterday and she bought 3 coffees. How much did you think she paid for them?
Oh, God, maybe 15 francs, 14 francs.
Yes. The equivalent of 13 euro, whatever. Well, of course, we know what that is now in Switzerland. Stay on the... You're not surprised at all. Claire, stay on the line, because we're also joined now by John Galligan. He's Managing Director of John Galligan Travel. And John, I presume you've enough difficulty trying to sell Switzerland to the Irish traveller without another price hike.
Good morning, John. Indeed, yeah. Well, I think it's the last thing the Swiss Tourist Board needs. In fact, I was spent the weekend. We had a stand at the Holiday World Show, which was quite positive, I'm delighted to say, and great buzz there this year. But obviously, the Swiss Tourist Board didn't have a stand there, so I think it's probably just as well they would have been wasting their money, in my view. I think Switzerland, given where it is and the how well it's served by air services from Ireland, has a remarkably low tourist rate anyway. I think to an extent the tourists have factored it out by and large. But having said that, those who are going, I think, are going to be... I think that the latest appreciation of the Swiss franc is really going to put the last nail in its coffin, if you like, from the tourism numbers point of view. It's hard to get hard facts because the Swiss Tourist Board wasn't there yesterday, but I did ask some of the travel media to give some indication of the kind of numbers that do go there, and again, given its location and proximity to Ireland, remarkably low numbers. I think the figure I heard was about 14,000 tourists a year, which would be less than go to India every year. It's almost nothing. Mm. I did take the time to go over to one of the largest ski operators in Ireland and ask about any programs that they might have planned or are doing to Switzerland for skiing, and they don't feature Switzerland. So I think it's an indication of how expensive it's already gotten. And you were talking about Geneva there a few minutes ago. Geneva, I would recall from many moons ago, as being one of the most expensive cities on the planet anyway. And to add to that another 20%, and I think you've really gone off the scale altogether.
Claire, why is Switzerland so expensive?
Good question. Well, it's a bit like, why is Switzerland so rich? You know, that it's expensive because it's rich. And it's rich because... there are so many reasons, but let's say one great reason is the fact that Switzerland stayed out of all the European wars for the last 200 years. And that's been a major benefit for Switzerland to, you know, imagine each time the countries all around it are destroyed, but Switzerland is ticking along nicely. And, you know, Switzerland had its major economic boom in the 1950s because after the Second World War, it was in perfect working order. The Swiss franc had been the only freely traded currency in the world during the Second World War, and there was a lot of dealing going on with all powers, with all sides in Switzerland. So they have that, and then so peace has led to prosperity, and then they have this massive financial center that's built up that goes back generations now, and Switzerland is the biggest offshore wealth in the world. So all the people who have huge amounts of money, the mega rich, that they bank their money abroad and they bank it in Switzerland, and that is propping up the country in a huge way. And they also have a very, very successful manufacturing industries that have been going for decades, and wages are high, so the cost of living is high. And for example, working in a hotel, they have these wage agreements in all the different sectors. So a hotel worker will be protected by that and will get, on average, 4,000 francs a month. That's 4,000 euros a month. So that's what a hotel worker is earning in Switzerland. So everything is expensive because of that.
Mm. And Claire, you went to live there a few years ago.
Yeah.
was it all a bit of a shock to you?
Yeah, it was... 2003 when I moved here, so I've had time to get used to the standard of living, but I was surprised by how perfect everything is. You know, in Ireland, there is still an attitude that, you know, it'll do, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect. But in Switzerland, it does have to be perfect, and it is perfect, and every home is perfectly finished. And my God, when you leave an apartment and you go to your next apartment, you have to scrub that apartment, you have to go around with a toothbrush. And, you know, they have very high standards for everything, but I have got used to it by now.
I'm glad to hear it. Well, listen, Claire, thanks a million for joining us, and good luck. And also
thanks very much to
John Galligan. By the way, John, what is hot and what is not? Quickly, when it comes to holidays, what did you discover yesterday?
Well, I think the all-reliables are still there. I mean, Spain is still clocking up record numbers out of Ireland, 1.3 million out of a population of 4.5 million. It's just incredible how popular it is. But everything is price-driven, and I think Spain is offering fantastic value, so it'll probably continue to be that way. There's some new destinations. Tunisia was there, Morocco. Turkey is going through a transition. Greece has gone the way back, and listening to the news this morning, I think that could probably become more and more attractive, certainly if there's a new currency in the European Union or outside the European Union. But certainly that's offering great value. Greece is offering great value, so I think we'll probably see a bit more of that.
Great stuff. Well, listen, John, thank you for joining us. That's John Galligan, Managing Director of John Galligan Travel.